Today's shiur is a Masechta Erevin Daf Tzadik Zayin. We are beginning on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amid Aleph with the last word on the fourth line, Vahashta. In yesterday's shiur, Rava brought a brisa which quotes a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda whether new tefillin can be brought into a city on Shabbos or not. If they were found in a field, can they be brought in? Old tefillin, which we recognize as tefillin, should certainly be brought in. The machloikis is by new ones, which may be kemios, amulets, not written with the kedusha of tefillin. Rava explained the machloikis as being dependent on whether people would be tareach, would go to the bother of making a kemia look like a regular pair of tefillin or not. If people would go to the bother of making a kemia look like, an amulet look like a regular pair of tefillin, then this new pair of tefillin might actually be an amulet, and there would be no heter to bring this into the city, into the house, and therefore a person would have to leave it there. Masha'en Ken, if we go with the opinion that a person would not be toreich, would not go to the bother of making a amulet look like a pair of tefillin, then even if these are new tefillin and we cannot recognize them as being tefillin, but since a person wouldn't go to the tircha, undoubtedly they are also tefillin. If they are also tefillin, then they have to be brought in as well. So that is the svar of Rav Meir, who permits it on the top line of our Amid, and Rabbi Yehuda, who assers. By the way, Tosfos in the Mishnah said that when it says in the Mishnah, you're potter from bringing in chadashos, Tosfos points to this Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't just use the word potter, but he holds chadashos is asser. He oyser b'chadashos, because he considers it possible that this new pair of tefillin is not actually a pair of tefillin, but it's a kemiah, and therefore he assers it. And now we begin with the last word on the fourth line. The Gemara is now going to change the understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. V'hashta d'tani avua d'Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. And now that the father of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak learnt that elu hein yishanos, what is considered an old pair of tefillin, kol sheyesh ben ritzuos u'mekusharos, anything that has in them tefillin straps and they have the kesher, they have the knot. What is the knot? So Rashi brings down that there is a dalid and a yud and a shin. And actually this Rashi is in the Divrei HaMaskil, as we'll see later in the Gemara, that this is a halachal maishim misinai. And Rashi's opinion is that the halachal maishim misinai goes on these three letters. The shin that we have on the outside of the tefillin shel rosh, that is actually part and parcel of the bias itself, of the box of the tefillin itself. And then we have at the back of the tefillin shel rosh, we have the dalid, and then we have on the tefillin shel yad, we have the strap that is made into the knot in the form of a yud. So we have a shin, and then a dalid, and then a yud. That spells the word shakai. And this is, according to Rashi, sheet to the halach l'moshe m'sinai. Tosfos in the Divrei HaMaskil, Kesher Tefillin disagrees, and he says Kesher Shel Tefillin Halach L'moshe M'Sinai is only, he brings proofs from Gemaras, that it's only on the letter Shin itself. The Or Zeruah explains, according to Tosfos, it's a little difficult to lashon Kesher Shel Tefillin. According to Rashi, it's very good, because we're referring to the knot of the Yud, the knot of the Dalid, so that Kesher Shel Tefillin Halach L'moshe M'Sinai. But according to Tosfos, where we are only referring to the shin, how is the shin called Kesher Shel Tefillin? The Or Zeruah discusses this. So now the Gemara says that if it is, there is a ritsua there and it is makusher, it is tied up with these various knots, so then you bring it in because you know that it's a pair of tefillin, you bring it in. However, chadasha is, what is the definition of a new pair? Yesh ben ritsua, itaka has a strap, but v'loy makusharis. It does not have the strap with the knots of the yud and the dalet and the shin. It's missing that. So now, if that is the definition of an old pair of tefillin or a new pair of tefillin, now we have a new understanding in the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda whether you could bring in a new pair of tefillin or not. Why? We're going to say like this: De kuli alma loy tarich inish. everybody concerning the machloikis that we had before, the way we learned it, that the machloikis is whether a person would go to the tircha of making a kamiya to look like a pair of tefillin or not. So now we're going to say that everybody holds they would not go to the tircha. In other words, if you see a new pair of tefillin, you can assume definitely that this pair of tefillin was written with the kedusha of tefillin. You don't have to be choshish, maybe this is a kamiya that looks like tefillin, because who's going to go to the bother to make an amulet mamish look exactly like a pair of tefillin? That everyone holds, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. If so, if the chadashish is also a pair of tefillin, so why does Rabbi Yehuda in fact paskin on the second line of our omed oiser the chadashish? Why is if it's not an amulet and it is a pair of tefillin, so why are you not allowed to bring it in on Shabbos? So the Gemara explains, because the reason is that as what Rashi explains, since it's not it does not have any knots in it, the proper knots, so then you are not, A, you're not allowed to make a knot on Shabbos, and B, if it remains without a knot, then you cannot bring it in. It's not the derech malbush to bring in the tefillin in this way. If it's an old pair of tefillin and it has the proper knots, so then you have a heter from the rabbanon to put it on your arm, and it's considered a levush, and you're allowed to bring it in into the town, and the rabbanon permitted this in this way. But if it is not, it is there without the proper knots, so then the Gemara at this point holds that just by wrapping it around your arm, that would not be the normal way to wear tefillin without the proper knots on it. And in Mela, you have no right, A, to make the knots. You have no right, B, once it's not knotted properly, you have no rights to carry it in. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that chadashas is usher. Frey the Gemara v'lin vinu me'anev. Why can't you at least on a chadashas, which is not knotted, don't make a knot? Because there's a problem of make a kesher, mekshir is one of the lama test malachas who be over a malacha daraisa. So make a bow and a bow lechora. You're not over an iser of kesher. So do it that way and bring it in that way. Amar Rav Chizda. So we have two truths from the Gemara. One is Rav Chizda and one is Abaya. First says Rav Chizda Zoyser Meris. From here we learn that a neva psula betvilot, that you have to make a proper yud with a kesher, you have to make a dalad with a kesher. You cannot use an aniva, you cannot use a bow. If you use a bow, it's possible. So by making a bow, it's tantamount to not having a bow. So you're back to square one, that you're bringing in the tefillin, not wearing it in the right way. The Chachamim never allowed you to do it. Only an old pair of tefillin that has the correct knots, that is what you're permitted to put on and bring it into the town on Shabbos. Abaya gives a different teretz. Abaya Amar Rabbi Yehuda Latameh, Rabbi Yehuda Lagozel Shitas. So the Amar Aniva Kshirim Aliyasihi, that an Aniva is considered a Kshirim Aliyasihi. You are over, you are transgressing one of the 39 Melachos on Shabbos if you make not only a knot, but you make a bow. That's also considered a legitimate knot, and you would transgress one of the Lamates Melachos. So this is not a solution to make a bow. Tosvis, Divra Maskel, Amar Rav Chizda asked the question, didn't Rav Chizda, who gave the first answer, didn't he know that the Mishnayos, the Brises throughout Masechet Shabbos that teach us that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Aniva is a Kshira? This is a famous thing that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is, that Aniva is considered a Kshira. So Rav Chizda only says that Aniva is possible for tefillin. Rav Chizda holds that making the Aniva, it would seem, is not a problem, because he doesn't give a bias parrots that you're not allowed to make an Aniva, that an Aniva is tantamount to a Kesher. Frank Tosis, doesn't he know all the Brises and Mishnais that say that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that Aniva is a Kesher? Tosis gives two truths, and we'll say over the second parrots. Enam, he says, Tosis, that since this person is making an aniv on what? On a pair of tefillin. So undoubtedly, it's for sure that he, as soon as he has the legal opportunity that the halacha allows him, he's definitely going to untie it and make a proper kesher. So the Gemara held, Rav Chizda held, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that this aniv, since it's only of a temporary nature, this is not the normal way you make tefillin. So Mimele, you're doing it by a bow, he's for sure going to undo the bow and make the proper proper kasher. So it's only temporary. If it's only temporary, Rabbi Chisda held that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you're not over on kasher if you would make an aniva. So that's why Rabbi Chisda had answered that aniva is possible for tefillin, and therefore you're not allowed to bring it in this way on Shabbos. However, we're back to Abaya. Abaya holds that even in this way, it is considered a kasher mal yisur. So the Gemara questions Abaya in the reverse. The Gemara says, "Taima daniva ksher mal yisi." Why does Abaya say that Rabbi Yehuda would not allow him to make an aniva because an aniva is a kasher on Shabbos? Ha lav hachi. But if an aniva were permitted, if it was not a kasher on Shabbos, anivluhu, then you, Abaya, would agree that one could put on even a new pair of tefillin and make a bow and bring it in that way. But you're not yotze with a niva. V'omer Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas v'shmeid Rav kasher shel tefillin halach l'moish v'sinayu. As we had the machlokes before Rashi and Tosfos, that Rashi says it's the shin dal yud and Tosfos says it's the shin. But either way, it's halach l'moish v'sinayu. So the question is, how can you be yaitza with an aniva? With an aniva, you're not yaitza the mitzvah of tefillin, of making a proper kesher. And aniva, even if aniva would be mutter, in other words, Tosfos told us why Reb Chisda doesn't hold of Abaya. And the Gemara is questioning, why doesn't Abaya hold of Reb Chisda? Abaya seems to be saying that the only reason you can't make the aniva is because aniva is a kesher. But if an aniva would not be a kesher, al tilchas tefillin, you'd be allowed to make an aniva. Frank the Gemara, the aniva, you're not yoitz to the kesher of halach l'moshe m'sinai. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara first says another halacha, V'amr Rav Nachman, a second halacha, which really has no shaykhis to the kasha and teretz that we're bringing, but it's a separate halacha, V'amr Rav Nachman, V'nivyein labar, that the things that adorn the ornaments that are on the tefillin have to be on the outside. Which ornaments? Again, we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that it's referring to the shin, and the shin has to be outside. In other words, it cannot be in the partitions which are inside of the tefillin shel roish to put the shin there. Rather, the shin has to be noticeable from the outside of the tefillin shel roish. And Tosfos says that it's referring to the kesher of the dalid, that the kesher of the dalid cannot be inside out, that the dalid will be not recognizable from the back of a person's head, but rather it has to be towards the outside labar, that a person looking at the other person who's wearing tefillin would look at his tefillin and see in the back a knot which resembles a dalid. This is the halach of Nevein Labar. But anyway, back to our question. The question was, how could Abaya say that it's only not allowed to make an aniva al tilchas Shabbos? L'chayra, you're not allowed to make aniva al tilchas tefillin, because you're not yoitz a kesher. The answer is the Gemara, the anav lehu ke'enk shira didhu. You'll make the bow, and you will form the bow to look like a yud on his shel yad, and to look like a dalet on the shel roish, and therefore the Gemara is going that you would be yoitz a hilchas tefillin. If you make stam a bow and it doesn't look like a yud or a dalet, then you're not yoitz. But if you can shape the bow in a way that it will still look like even a yud and a dalet, even though it's not a real kesher, you would be yoitza hilchas tefillin. The reason why it's no yoitza here is because it's usher to make an aniva Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasoi, because it has a loch of kesher. Memele chadoshes cannot be brought in, but yishonis that have the yud and the dalet properly made can be brought in on Shabbos. Now the Gemara begins a whole new inyan. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav. This is a new inyan, but it has to do with tefillin. Rav Chisda said in the name of Rav, Halikeach tefillin mimishen mumcha. If I buy tefillin from someone who is not a mumcha, I know he's not an expert in tefillin. So now, this person, the case is that the person I'm buying it from, he bought it from other people, and he bought it, let's say, the Gemara's going to have a shaila. Did he buy it from one person? Did he buy it from two or three people? So let's start the Gemara. Halikeach tefillin mimishen mumcha. I bought tefillin from someone who's not an expert, and let's say I bought 20 pairs of tefillin, and I want to know if all 20 pairs are becheskes kashrus. Do I have to check all 20 pairs, or no, what Eitzah could I have not to need to check all 20? I'll check, let's say, 3. We know throughout Shas that 3 is a Chazakah. Once I see that 3, Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, were written correctly, then I can assume that all the other 17 that I'm buying the total of 20, they're all okay. Says Rav Chizkiah, the name of Rav, Boydik Shtaim Shal Yad V'Ach Shal Rosh, or Shtaim Shal Rosh V'Ach Shal Yad. You're right, you have to be Boydik 3. You take either 2 of the Rosh and 1 of the Yad, or 2 of the Yad and 1 of the Rosh. The Gemara has problems with this halacha. Manavshech. Either way, we have a problem. Why? Imichad gavra kozovin. If you're buying it from one person, and that person, Rashi says, he in turn bought it only, this person who's not a mumcha, he bought it from a soifer, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael. You know that this swarm store that sells the tefillin that you're buying from, he always buys from one soifer in Eretz Yisrael. So if he's buying it all the way down from one person, livdik oy shal shal yad, oy shal shal roish. Why do you tell me you have to do 2 of the yad, or 2 of the roish, and 1 of the other? If you're buying it from all the way down the chain, it's only one person involved, so true, the meicher who's selling it is not a bucky in tefillin. But he bought it from a reliable cipher, let's say in Eretz Yisrael. So how will I check that it's okay? I could take 3 yads, check all 3 yads. They're okay, they're written well, they're written on one parsha, the way the halacha is, fine. That should be good for all the other 20 pairs. Or I take 3 shel roish and I check 3 shel roish, and that should be good for all others. Why is the halacha that you have to take 2 of one and 1 of the other? And now, if the case is imitrei tosa gavri zoven, and what happens if I know that this swarm store that I'm buying the tefillin mezuzahs from, he gets it for 2 or 3 soifrim in Eretz Yisrael, he gets it from a number of people. So kol chad v'chad leboy bedika. So then everyone, then you can't make a chazak at all. The person you're buying it from is an eina mumcha. He's getting it, let's say, from 2 or 3 people, from various sources. So even if you'll check, if you have 20 pairs of tefillin, he could have got it from 20 different seifrim. And if you check a few, how do you know it's good on the rest? So it shouldn't work at all. But when you're dealing with multiple people, then there's no chazak at all. So the Gemara answers, lo ilo mechad gavra zavin. Let's go back to the case that he bought it from one person. I bought it from a meicher swarm, a swarm store, and he buys it from one soifer in Eretz Yisrael. But ubeinan the mismachi b'shel yad ubishal roish. You're correct. How is a chazaka formed by 3? But if you just took 3 shel yads, maybe this cipher who's sending it from Eretz Yisrael, he's only an expert in writing shel yad. But when it comes to shel roish, he's not an expert, or the opposite. You check 3 shel roish, maybe he's excellent in shel roish, and in shel yad he has a deficiency. He doesn't know the halachas well of shel yad. Shel yad has different halachas than shel roish. So therefore, you're right. You only have to have 3 altogether. You don't need 6. You don't need 3 of Yad and 3 of Roish. That we don't require. You need only a total of 3, but at least one of them has to be a Yad, or one of them at least has to be a Roish, so that we see that he has a proficiency in both Shel Yad and Shel Roish. Right, the Gemara, Eini, is that so? Vatani, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel learned betfillin. If he buys tefillin, how much do you have to be boidik till you get a chazaka? Boydik shalosh shel yad v'shel roish. He has to check 3 of the shel yad and of the roish. My love, doesn't this mean oy shalosh shel yad, oy shalosh shel roish? When it says he checks 3 of the yad and 3 of the roish, so it doesn't mean that he has to check 6. He only has to check 3, and l'chayrit means he could choose either the shel yad or the shel roish. So the Gemara answers, loy, that's not the pshat. Shalosh. He has to check a total of 3. Mehen shel yad, mehen shel roish. Some of them are shel yad, and some of them are shel roish. Frey the Gemara, what are you telling me all the time? That you have to check 3. Vatani Rav Kahana betfilin boidik shtaim shel yad vishel roish. All you have to do, if you get a number of tefillin, is check, let's say, from a pile. You'll check 2 of the pile, 2 of the yad, and 2 of the roish. And you're telling me, which shachar would mean, you check 2 altogether, and there's some, 1 shel yad and 1 shel roish. You don't need 3. Here it says the maximum total that you need is shtayim. And before we said three, and for the Gemara, Hamani Rebbe he. This is going according to Rebbe, and we know throughout Shas, Rebbe has a machloikis and he, with the Chachamim, and Rebbe holds that you need two is enough to make a chazaka, whereas the other opinion says that no, you need three. Hamani Rebbe Domer betrays him the chazaka two times the chazaka, and that's why this brisa is going according to Rebbe. E Rebbe, if it's going according to Rebbe, Ema Seifa, tell me the end of the brisa. V'chein b'tzeves Hasheni, v'chein b'tzeves Hashlishi, and so with the second bundle, and so with the third bundle. In other words, the Rashi explains, Gemara thought that the pshat in the brisa is that you check from every bundle two. According to Rebbe, you only have to check two, not three. So I approve bundle number one if two are good. Then I go to bundle number two and look at two of those. If they're good, bundle number two is good. Then I go to bundle number three and I do the same thing. For Edi Gemara, if this whole brice is going to, according to Rebbe, because that's how you explained why you have to do two from each bundle. But if you have to do two from each bundle, why do you have to do three bundles? It should, the Gemara thought that I'm buying 20 bundles, Rashi explains. And once I have proven that three bundles are okay by checking two tefillin in the three bundles, then I can use all 20 bundles. According to Rebbe, all I should need to do is check two bundles, two tefillin in two bundles. That should be enough to approve all the other bundles. So if it's going according to Rebbe, shlishi mi islay, he doesn't need to check the third bundle. And for the Gemara, Rebbe agrees, bitziv sayim, dimitrei utzlasa, the Gavri Zovin, so the Gemara says, he's not buying all these bundles from one person down the line that all came from one sofer. He's buying various bundles, and each bundle comes from a different cipher. And we learned before that whenever you have multiple sources, and you're dealing with this Meicher Swarm who's not a Baki, he's not a Mumcha, and he gets it from 20 different sources, then by just approving three, that doesn't mean that the other 17 are good. Because how do you know the other 17 are Mumcha? There you have to go ahead and check each and every bundle. So Memela, each bundle only requires two tefillin to be checked, but once when you're checking, it's not enough just to check two bundles. You have to check the third bundle as well, because no chazaka has been established. For Edi Gemara, a big kasha. Ihachi, we gave a marshal. There were 20 bundles. Ihachi, afilu revi nami vafilu chamisha nami. So why are you stopping at three? Yeah, then if there's no chazaka in this case, because it's coming from multiple sources, check four. Check bundle five as well. Check bundle 18 and 19 and 20 as well. The Gemara says, "Einachanami, you're right. You do have to check all the bundles if there's no chazaka. V'hai diktani shlishi, that which it said in the brisa, that the third one you also have to check. Lafuke mecheske. Rebbe is trying to say that's his whole point here. That in each bundle, in and of itself, which this bundle is coming from source A. So in source A, you have to check two. Once you know two of these tefillin of source A are good, all the rest of the bundle are good. But since they're coming, each bundle is coming from multiple sources, when it comes to checking the bundles, there is no chazaka established if two bundles are good. So you have to check the third bundle. And Einachanami, you have to check fourth, fifth, till 20 as well. He just wanted to say three to show you that three we're getting out of two. Since there's no precedent of chazaka, that here I agree that you have to do three, but not only three, you have to go all the way up to number 20. Ulo ilam, afilu reviv chamishinami, einichanami. If there's five bundles, you got to do five, all five. If there's 20 bundles, you have to do all 20. The Gemara now refers back to the Mishnah. Motzan tzvasim oik krichos. If he found the tefillin in heaps, and there were too many tefillin that he could not put it on one pair of tefillin at a time, he would never. He has 100 pairs of tefillin there in a pile. He could never put them all on and get them before the end of Shabbos. So then the halacha is that machshich aleihen umaviim. stays by them. He makes sure that no animals, no people disturb the tefillin. But he does not bring them in one at a time, but rather he waits there till after Shabbos, and then he takes them all in after Shabbos together. The Gemara wants to know, what is the difference between these two expressions over here of tzevasim and krichais? They seem to be the same thing, piles, heaps of it. My tzevasim and my krichais. What's the difference? I'm going to review them around. Hain. So, they are basically the same. They're heaps, a whole bunch, too much for him to put on before the end of Shabbos. But there is a slight difference. Tzvasim, Amarav Hainain, Tzvasim Hainain Krichas, they're all the same. But the little difference is that Tzvasim is Zuvi Zuvi, which means that I have pairs and pairs. I have one pair of Shal Yad and Shal Roish tied together, and another pair of Shal Yad and Shal Roish tied together, and I have, let's say, 100 pairs tied together in this one heap. And krichas the krichen tova. Krichas is that you have them also all tied together, but you don't have them divided down in pairs, but rather you have 100 shal roishes together, and you have 100 shal yads together. The din is the same by both, as it continues the Mishnah. Mach shechalein umavion. He has to wait there until Shabbos is over, and then he brings them in. Frayed Gemara. Let's say there's 100 pairs, and he can't do all 100 before it gets dark. But he could do 80. So let him do 80. Frey de Gemara, Vamayli, Alinu, Zug, Zug. Let him take as many as he could put on one at a time into the house, come back for the next pair, go back and forth, and then whatever he is not able to do before Shabbos ends, then he will be bring them in after Shabbos. Why do we say he should leave all of them there and bring them in over after Shabbos? Amar Rav Yitzchak, great Rav Yehuda, L'dedim Efar Shalem Meneda, Abba explained this to me, Kol She'ilu Machnisen Zug, Zug, V'chalois Koy, if he could bring them in pair by pair, and he could finish, he has only, let's say, 20 pairs, and that he's able to do before Shabbos ends, so then let him bring them in one at a time. But but if he cannot accomplish the whole pile, he can only accomplish some of the pile, he should do nothing. Then he should stay there until it gets dark, until the end of Shabbos, and then he brings them all in together. Rashi says, why? Because since he's going to have to anyway come back for them, he's not gaining anything. If he's able to finish them all during Shabbos, so then we tell him, do it during Shabbos, and then you'll be finished before the end of Shabbos. But here, where he's not going to be able to do the whole pile before Shabbos ends, so he's going to have to come back anyway. So the Chachamim said that rather than bring them in part by part and you're not going to finish anyway, the Chachamim said, we want you to stay right there until the end of Shabbos and then take them all in together. The Mishnah continued, Uvisakona mechasen voilich. Well, let's say there's a danger. So if there's a danger, you don't have to wait next to the pile until the end of Shabbos. What you do is cover them up, and you just make sure they're not treated in a bizoyan way, in an embarrassing way, and you go on your way because there's a danger. Frey de Gemara of Atani, we learned in the Braisa, a different etza, a different method if there's a sakon. Uva sakon in a time of danger, moilichon pachas pachas mi'arba amas. You go less than four amas in a shot. We know you're only over maver dalet amas for shusarab in four amas. So a person goes 3.5 amas and he stops. Goes another 3.5 amas and he stops. He'll never really come to be mechal Shabbos. So that's the method that he should do. So the Gemara is asking a big steer. In our mission, it says you cover them up and you walk away. And here in the Brisa, it says that you take them with you and you cover and you walk less than 4 amas at a time. Amar Rav loy kasha. Rav says no contradiction. Ha b'sakonis nachri. Ha b'sakonis list them. One is speaking about the sakana of a goy, and one is speaking about the sakana of robbers. Rashi has two pshatim, and the pshat that we're going to learn is the pshat that Rashi on Amud Beis, around five lines from the top, Rashi says, Lashin Acher Ve'ikr V'loy L'Shabbish HaSwarb. Rashi first had one pshat, and according to that pshat, he had to change the whole gears of the Gemara. Rashi says the second pshat, which he says is the Ikr pshat, the main pshat, and through the second pshat, you don't even have to change any of the gears of the Gemara. You leave the Gemara exactly the way we have it in our Gemara. So what is Rashi's second pshat? That our Mishnah where it tells you to cover it up and walk away is speaking about that you're in a country, let's say in the time of the Gomorrah, the Romans in certain times in history issued a decree that people should not wear tefillin. We had this Gemara in the beginning of Reb Lezer de Mila, where there was a sakonis nefashis to wear tefillin, and if a person was caught wearing tefillin, or there was even a suspicion that he had anything to do with tefillin, he could be killed. So our Mishnah is speaking about such a sakana of a nachri, which means that the government will kill the person, and then you cover it up, that no bezoyin to the tefillin, and you walk away. Ha, b'sakonis listim, but where it is a goyish robber, so there is no threat that your life is going to be endangered, because there's no gzeira that the robber's not going to kill you, he's just going to steal from you. So here, what is the eitzah? You have two choices. You could either take it with you and walk less than Dalet Amis, or you could leave it there and be machshich, wait till the end of Shabbos. But you're afraid to wait till the end of Shabbos. When do robbers normally operate? Their business hours are in the evening. So you want to get away from there as quickly as possible. So then we tell you, you know what? Take it with you. Don't be over Shabbos because you'll walk less than Dalet Amis. If a goy happens to be out in the daytime, your life is not in danger anyway if you're carrying or wearing tefillin. So that's the eitzah in that situation. And our Mishnah is speaking about a sakonis nefashis. There you leave it and cover it up. Armeli Abaya, b'may. Now we turn to Daf. Sadik Zayin Amid Beis B'may Ukim Tulamas Nisan B'Sakonas Avoides Avdei Gelulim B'Sakon of a Goy. That's what did you say our Mishnah is speaking about? Where your life is in danger because the government may kill you for wearing tefillin. So Ema Seifa, tell me the Seifa of the Mishnah. Reb Shimon Oimer Noisnan L'Chaveri. You give it to your friend. V'Chaver L'Chaveri, and your friend gives it to the next friend, and that's how you bring it in to the place that you want to deposit the tefillin. And no one walks more than four amis, and you hand one to the other. So the Gemara says, we don't understand. If the Mishnah's case is speaking about where your life is threatened because you're wearing tefillin, koshchen to avshamilsa. Avshamilsa means it's a public thing, you're attracting attention. All the goyim are going to be standing in the street watching how one person is playing passing the football from one to the other, and they see it's a pair of tefillin that they're passing. What's going on here? So all of these people's lives will be endangered. So how could Reb Shimon say that the eitzah is from one friend to give it to another? The Gemara says you're right, and there are words missing in the Mishnah. When do we say that you cover it up and walk away? That's b'sakonis avdei gelulim. That's when the government is threatening to kill anybody who's wearing tefillin. So that's why you don't even stand next to it until the end of Shabbos. Hey, what are you standing next to the tefillin? You put on tefillin, they're going to kill you. So you go home, and you don't wear it, and you don't stand next to it. Avol b'sakonis listim. The Mishnah is missing these words. If the danger would only be from robbers, where your life is not endangered, then the Tanakhama says, my lichin pachas pachas midalet amis. Then what you should do is go less than dalet amis, as we had found in the Brisa, and that, according to this pshat, is missing in the words of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is agreeing that if it's sakonis listim, you go less than dalet amis. And on that, now it fits in very well. On that, the next phrase of the Mishnah is Reb Shimon Oimer Noisna l'chaveroi v'chavero l'chaveroi. No, Reb Shimon disagrees. I hold it's better to hand off where it's not a sakonis nefashis of the government. It's only a sakonah of robbers. Instead of walking less than dalet amis, I think it's better to hand it off from one person to the other. So the Gemara wants to know, but my kamiflagi, what are they arguing, the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, whether it's better to go less than four amis or whether it's better to give it from one friend to another? Mar sover pachas mi'arba amis adif. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah holds it's better to go walk less than four amis. The e amrat nois l'chaver v'chaver l'chaveroi. If you're going to give it from one person to another, afsha milsa de Shabbos. So then if a person is wearing tefillin, so sometimes you could even put it on there. People who wear Uri Zohar, I think he wears tefillin, he puts his hat on top of the tefillin, people don't see it. In other words, you could wear under your arm. It's not even noticeable. People may not even notice that you're carrying the tefillin on Shabbos. Masha Enkin, if you're handing it off one to the other, Avshamilsa. Now, this Avshamilsa is different than the Avshamilsa we had before. The Avshamilsa we were talking about before was that the goyim will attract attention and they'll want to kill you. Here, the Gemara is saying, Avshamilsa Misha Milsa of Chilul Shabbos. In other words, you're, even though we're giving you a heter to bring in the tefillin, but we don't want everybody to see that there is something that has a connection with Chilul Shabbos. So Avshe Milsa of Shabbos, we want to keep it as private as possible. Therefore, it's better for you to walk less than 4 amos. Umar Sover, no. Nois L'chaveri Adav. It's better if you give it to your friend. D'i Amrat Malichim Pachas Pachas Mi'arba Amos. Zimn D'lav Adate. If you're going to do it yourself, you're going to walk home, it's going to be a few miles till you get home. We're afraid that one of the Arba Amos that you're going to go 3.5 Amos will actually be 4.5 Amos. You'll forget, you'll start walking normally. If you have one friend passing it to the other, so each friend will remind the other friend. So there it is, less cheshash chas v'shalom that will come to Chol Shabbos. But if you're doing it all by yourself, you'll forget. You'll come to carry it 4 Amos v'shalom, which will be an Isser de Araisa. The Pri Megadim says that this Eitza of Chavra, you don't need a whole chain, but rather two people, each one can pass it to the next one and rotate. Reuven gives it to Shimon, then Shimon gives it back to Reuven, and so on and so forth, till they get home. The Mishnah Berurah says no, that it's the Pashas of the Gemara, we have no Makor, he says, for the Pri Megadim, he says this in the Bir Halacha, and the Pashas of the Gemara is that it's only Mutter when you have a long chain, and you can actually hand it off one to the other. Tosfos and Divrei HaMaaseh Reb Shimon on the top says that what happens if there are no friends around, that even Reb Shimon, who said in the Mishnah, Chavr Chavr, agrees that you can go less than Arba Amos. He holds it's better to do Chavr Chavr. If you're stuck, Avadi, you should do the other Eitzah, a friend to a friend, of less than Arbamas. The Rambam says that you could take either choice, and it seems, it's not clear, it would seem that the Rambam permits this even L'chatchila. In other words, a person L'chatchila can go less than Arbamas on Shabbos and carry something. It would seem that the Rambam holds it's a lechatchil. There's no desecration of Shabbos to do this, but others are choilik and they say that it's only a shas atchak. It's only in a case of tefillin or a baby, like we're going to learn next in the Gemara. Only in such a case where it's a shas atchak. But lechatchila, one should not use either of these methods of giving from a friend to a friend or walking less than Dalet Amos. Continues the Mishnah, V'chein benoy, if a person has a child and he's in a field and there's no way to get him home, then also Rabbi Shimon says you can give it from a friend to a friend. Frag the Gemara, benoy, my boy Hussam, what's this child doing in the field? The parents were derelict in their duties. So the Ritva says, Chazal would never have given a heter. It's only, like we just learned, that was seems to be the most Meforshim agree with that. This is only a heter b'shas atchak. But l'chatchila, to allow you to take your child who's in the Sada, what's he doing in the Sada? They wouldn't have given the heter. So the Gemara answers, Debei Menashe, Tana b'shi aldasa imoy basada. His wife, the mother, gave birth to the child in the field. Question is, what's the mother doing there, giving birth to the field? But she was taking a Shabbos walk, and the baby came earlier than expected, and she gave birth in the field. Now the child is stranded in the field. What do? So you give it one friend to another. Then it said in the Mishnah, Afilu hein meya, my afilu hein meya. What does it mean if there's 100? The afal, 100 people will hand off one to the other. What's the afilu? Even the afal gav the kashula yada, afilu hachi ha'adifa. Even though this newborn baby, it's a discomfort to be passed from one, a person grabs it, he may pinch the baby, it's a discomfort from being given one to the other. Afilu hachi, Reb Shimon holds, this is better eitza than to do less than 4 amos. We have 2 eitzas here. But since less than 4 amos can come easier to Chilul Shabbos, that instead of handing it from one person to the other, this will make a person chas v'shalom b'yoyv and Chilul Shabbos. So even though it causes some discomfort to the child, this is a better method to hand it from one person to the other. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, nice and Adam Chavis. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a Chavis with water, you could do the same thing. You can give the Chavis of water from one person to another. And the Mishnah said, you can even bring it more than the Tchum of the person. And then the Chachamim disagreed on this in the Mishnah and said that you can't, the water has to have the same tchum as the owner of the water. Afraid the Gemara, but less later, Rabbi Yehuda Hadistan, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that which we learned in the Mishnah, Behemah Vakalim, Karagli Abilim, that an animal or a person's Kalim has the same din of tchum as the feet of the owner?
Amr Rish Lakish, Mishum Levi Sava. Rish Lakish said the name of Levi Sava. Hach, my skin here, we're speaking about the Ma'aron, Mechavis, Lechavis. The Chavis wasn't moved, the water was moved. He pours the pitcher from one Chavis to the other. So the water is moving further than the tchum. But I'm using, let's say, 100 different barrels and pouring from one to the other. The barrels never go more than the tchum. And Rabbi Yehuda Latameh, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his sheet, the Dharma, Mayim Ein Bahem Mamish. That water has no din, it's not koin tchum. It's not, just like you can say, air. Air is, there's no tchum on air. Same thing, water he holds is Ein Bahem Mamish. There's no tchum on water. There's no din that the water is koin the tchum of its own. This nun, we learned in a mission in Masech Tabeir, Rabbi Yehuda Poiter B'mayim, Mivnei Shein B'mamish. The mission is speaking about that if a friend ran out of certain ingredients, she needed water, she needed salt, she asked it from her friend, and her friend lives far away. And let's say her friend made an Erev to the north, and she made an Erev to the south. The question is, the water that she gets on Yontiv, does that, is the water restricted by the Erev that her friend made to the north? It could, Rashi even gives an example like we had earlier in the Masechta, where she wouldn't be able to move it one amma. If she made an Erev all the way to the end of 2,000 ammas to the south, her friend made an Erev all the way 2,000 ammas to the end of the 2,000 ammas to the north, you couldn't move it at all. Because if she wants to go one step to the south, then her friend's Erev asers. If she wants to go one Erev to amma Erev to the north, her Erev to the south asers. She'll be stuck. But the point is, the Tanakhama says that she is affected by the Erev of the original owner. Says Rabbi Yehuda, but if she gave water, if she gave flour, she gave apples, she gave other ingredients, that's different. But water is Ein Bahem Mamish. It's not affected by the Erev that my friend who gave me the ingredients made their Erev. There it's totally all on my Erev. Afraid to more, my loisa haleich, umay loisa haleich, zu, loya, what does it mean in the Mishnah where the Chachamim answered back to Rabbi Yehuda and said, don't bring this more than the Erev of the person who owns it? What's zu? If we're speaking about the water, zu seems to be speaking about the chavis. So the Gemara answers, loya halach ma shebezu yoyser meragli abaylam. It means what's in this, what's contained within the chavis, which is the water. We're talking, speaking about the water. We're not speaking about the chavis. And he holds you shouldn't go more than the meragli abaylam. So the Gemara says, this is not a good answer. Aimer to shamadle Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbi Yehuda say the water is aimed by mamish and water can go more than the tchum hechad the balina b'isa? That's only if it's part of a dough. So then it loses the status of the first owner and it gets the status of the second owner. But hechad is new bin now, but where you see water, mishamatle, did Rabbi Yehuda hold that water aimed by mamish even when you see the water? I'll prove you can't say that. Hashta b'kedeiram Rabbi Yehuda loibatli. Rabbi Yehuda said that even in a kedera, in a pot, where you're cooking something, it is not bottled to water. Ve'nayu batli. Could it be bottled when you see it mamish? The sanya, we learned in the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, mayimu melech b'teilam b'isa. Water and salt are bottled in a dough. But ve'ayim b'teilam b'kedera. But mipnei roitva. If you're cooking, let's say, some meat, and you borrowed water, and now you see the water in the form of the gravy, so then Rabbi Yehuda holds that the first owner's tchum is not bottled, because you still see the actual water that the first person gave. So certainly if you see mamish water, if gravy retains the tchum of the first owner, kal v'chomer water which you mamish see, Ella, we have to give a different teretz. Back to our kasha, the kasha was, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold of tchum? How could the water go further than the tchum of the original, of the owner? Ella amar Rava, hacha b'chavish shekonsa shrisa. The chavis was kind of shrisa, but what I used in the chavis, which water, mine, shaloi kind of shrisa, as Rashi brings down from Daf Mem Vav, we had it earlier in the Masechta, if you have a flowing stream, so that is harein karagli kolodim. If I filled up my bucket on Shabbos with the water, so then the water was not kind of shvisa. The betei lechavis legabi mayim. Then the chavis is bottled to the water. Kedisnan hamoitzi hachai b'mita. If you take out a live person in a bed, potter afalamita. Your potter even on the bed on the person. Your potter kaschai noises atzmai. A person who's alive carries himself, so you're not over for carrying him. The bed is bottled tefel to that person, so you're not over on the bed either. The mita is tefel is secondary to the person himself. Just like you're potter for carrying the food that's less than the groigris, less than the amount, so too are you potter on the kli, becomes bottle to the food. Rabbi Yosef asked the question, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shiora. Nice, not him, Chavis Chaver, Chaver, Chaver. So, Bishiora, Inch, Loi, Bishiora, Loi, Rabbi Yosef asked the question, the whole heter of the water seems to only be where it's a life and death situation in a caravan. Somebody's in the Sahara Desert in a caravan, so they have a heter to pass water when they found water in an oasis. They're allowed to pass water in the Chavis. But it's mashma, this heter does not apply where there's no Shiora. Elom, Rabbi Yosef, Kitnan, Namimastasim, Bishiora, Tnan. So, Rabbi Yosef says that you asked me a question, how can water go more than 2,000 amas? The answer is because this whole din is only by a shiura, a caravan, where it's a pekuach nefesh shaila. Abaya, Omer, no. Abaya goes back to Ravis Teretz. What was Ravis Teretz? That ain't nechanami. The chavis was koine shvisa, but the mayim was not koine shvisa. And the chavis is bottled to the hefker water, which came from a spring. I'm going back to that Teretz. Ah, you asked me a question, it's only by a shiura. So here's the difference. Bishiyara filachavis shekonsa shvisa umayim shekonsa shvisa. If it's a sakana in a caravan, there, even if the chavis was kind of shvisa and the water was kind of shvisa, there the halacha is that it's mutter because of the pekuach nefesh shayl involved. Shaloi b'shiyor, if you're not in a caravan, there it's only mutter to pass it from one person to another by a chavish shekan shvisa umayim shaloi kanu shvisa, and where the water was not kanu shvisa because it comes from a spring and it goes according to every the person who is zoichin it, and the chavish is bottled to the water. And finally, Ravashi says, Ravashi Omer, hacha b'chavish tehefgraskin umayim tehefgraskin. The case in the Mishnah is where the chavis is hefker and the water is hefker. So that's why there's no problem of going more than 2,000 amas, because it's hefker. Uman amrulai, so who's the one who argues on Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can pass it from a friend to a friend? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is going according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. To amr, chefzei hefker koin shvisa. He holds a chefzei hefker are koin shvisa. Umay loisa halech zu yoisa miragli abaylam. So what does it mean in the Mishnah when it says, don't carry this more than the bailam? You just told me speaking about hefker. So what do you mean bailam? The pshat is lo yahalchu elu yoisur mikalim sheyesh lem bailam. This hefker water, since I say that chefzei hefker are koine shvisa, then you cannot carry it more than a regular case where a keli is owned by a bailam, but not that this case itself has bailam. This case itself is chefzei hefker.